South Africans were in for a shock this morning when they read what US President Donald Trump wrote last night. For those who haven't seen it, here it is. South Africa is confiscating land and treating certain classes of people very badly. It is a bad situation that the radical left media doesn't want to so much as mention. A massive human rights violation, at a minimum, is happening for all to see. The United States won't stand for it. We will act. Also, I will be cutting off all future funding to South Africa until a full investigation of this situation has been completed. We speak to retired Colonel Chris Wyatt, an intelligence analyst from the US, who woke up at 3 o'clock to be here with us. Welcome, Colonel.
Well, Chris, thanks a lot. Actually, I didn't wake up. I've been up all night. From the moment that Trump did this, about 40 minutes later, I was busy covering it, and I've done about 6 hours of broadcasting, so I'm still going.
Well, thank you for staying awake for us. Chris, I'm sure you have plenty to say about this. You had warned that there would be consequences for South Africa.
In fact, I did warn. I've been warning for a number of years. I warned in the intelligence community when I worked there that this was going to be a problem eventually. And when Cyril Ramaphosa came into office and then this bill was introduced shortly after he became president back into parliament, where it had been voted down repeatedly year after year, and it got traction this time, I said, this is going to be a problem. This will be a bridge too far when it gets to that stage. People are like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I said, in fact, it will be a problem. There's a lot of issues with this. And first, let me state the following, Chris. A lot of South Africans are losing their minds right now. And the bottom line is the following. South Africa is a sovereign state, and it's welcome to take whatever decisions it likes. If its government likes to pass an unconstitutional law that violates Section 25 of your constitution regarding just and fair and equitable compensation for expropriation, that's their prerogative. It is unconstitutional, but that's not our place to interfere. However, South Africa has worked against U.S. national security interests, which we've talked about in the past, the Lady R, Russia, Ukraine, the list goes on. Its chumminess with Tehran and Beijing and Moscow. But when it does this, it violates the spirit and the intent of the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, and also violates the agreement that we have donating funds to help South Africans with HIV, tuberculosis, and many other things. And that's just too far. We finally have a new sheriff in town who is not going to let America be taken for suckers. So South Africa doesn't want this money. It won't get it. Sadly, this is going to hurt South Africans, not the ANC.
But you have felt all along that South Africa does not deserve a GOA.
I did. In fact, I've said for a long time that South Africa has disqualified itself. Mere introduction of this piece of legislation in 2018 should have had South Africa removed to send a message. But we didn't do it under Trump. We didn't do it under Biden. And the ANC runs around like there are no consequences to their actions. It reminds me of, but I have free speech. Well, yelling fire in a crowded theater isn't free speech. It's a public safety hazard, and you pay a consequence for that. There are consequences to your actions. And look, this isn't punishing South Africa. We're just not obliged to give you money if you're doing things we don't agree with. And we're not suckers, finally, and Trump's taking action. So I don't understand why a lot of people are upset, but I know it's going to come today and there'll be a big backlash, but too bad.
But do you think the ANC, at the end of the day, will really care or change its ways?
Well, it depends on how seriously they take it. Let me put it in this perspective. Trump has been accused of being willy-nilly using sanctions or threats of sanctions, but what has happened? Trump threatened sanctions against Canada, against Mexico. And Justin Trudeau threw in the towel and decided to resign as prime minister. So that's actually a good development for Canadians and something that Trump probably is happy about. Their sanctions did go into effect on the 1st, and hopefully they'll have their intended effect and they won't last very long. Mexico refused to take back its nationals who were in our country illegally until Trump threatened 25% tariffs. And then suddenly Claudia Sheinbaum opened up camps and started processing migrants that were illegal aliens that were sent back there. Colombia's president, Gustavo Petro, after approving U.S. repatriation flights with military aircraft while they're in the air en route, thought he'd be clever and say, oh, we're disapproving this. Only for Trump to be on the golf course, pull out his mobile phone and send a tweet and imply 25% sanctions on all exports, blocked all visas for diplomats from Colombia. And within an hour, Colombia backed down. Now Panama, which has been allowing the Chinese to get involved with the Panama Canal, has had sanctions threatened against them. Today, Panama backed down. The Chinese have lost all contact with the Panama Canal. So I think that, in fact, sanctions can, in fact, have an effect. Will they have it with the ANC? I don't know. I think the only way you get the ANC's attention is you put sanctions on the leaders so they can't travel and they can't do things. I think that's the way that you actually have an impact on that. So I think the way that you actually have an impact on the ANC is that you go ahead and put sanctions on the leaders. I'm not calling for that, but I think what's happened right now is the following. I've heard tonight that Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State, will be coming to South Africa in 3 weeks. And this is what I believe has allowed a window to happen. South Africa's ignored the U.S. when Ambassador Brigge tried to get the attention for 6 months, and then he went with the Lady R news story and got their attention. But the ANC is ignoring us, and we're giving you tons of resources and money, and there's a risk to this. So I think what's happening here is that Trump has put down a shot across the bow to warn the ANC that we won't tolerate this, violating your laws, violating your constitution, and by the way, violating the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, of which South Africa is a signatory. So this is not acceptable. So we are going to do this now. And I suspect today or tomorrow that South Africa may find itself suspended from AGOA as another measure. But that's not a big impact. It's going to affect people who send goods to America, 2% tariff. They'll probably eat the cost of that. Not a big deal. But it will send a message. And if Rubio comes in 3 weeks, if South Africa's parliament does the right thing and follows through with a Section 80 challenge to this law, which is unconstitutional, you need 132 members, one-third of the parliament, to sign the letter, send the letter to the Constitutional Court. If that happens before the 30-day period expires, from the 23rd of January onwards, that will fall within the window when Rubio is supposed to be there. And if that happens and it goes to the court, I'll bet you that Trump backs off and takes his foot off the gas. But right now, it doesn't look good for South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, anti-Western proponents would argue, good riddance. South Africa has the backing of China and Russia and BRICS countries. Surely it could survive.
Sure. Okay. Sure. What exactly have China, Russia, India, and Brazil provided vis-a-vis HIV money? United States has given South Africa $8.1 billion, 150 billion rand since 2003, in 22 years. 150 billion rand. That's 150 billion rand that the ANC didn't have to devote to taking care of its citizens for antiretrovirals, counseling and testing, and services for HIV and healthcare. We also provide resources in so many other areas. So if you think you can get that from China, go ahead. We're not telling you. Do what you want. We'll not you, but the ANC. Go ahead. Go to China. Go to the BRICS. You think you're going to get that? More power to you. That's your prerogative. That's your position. And beyond that, if you think that China is going to advocate for you at the IMF and World Bank when you want money to grift from there in grants and loans, like we helped with you in 2020, getting you $4.3 billion US, good luck with that. Go ahead. Not going to happen. And if you think that we are going to continue to give you preferential access to our marketplace with no duty when you impose duty on our goods, and we don't even have a problem with that, there's no reciprocity. If you think it's going to hurt us, it doesn't. Not giving South Africa $500 million a year doesn't hurt the U.S. Not giving South Africa preferential access to our marketplace doesn't hurt the U.S. It hurts South Africans. And that's who's going to pay the price.
Colonel, do you think there's more behind this tweet? Perhaps also South Africa's stance on the war between Russia and Ukraine and its anti-Israeli stance?
I think that South Africa is already in for a rude awakening when it comes to AGOA once Trump took office. But I think that would have come a little further down the pike. And I do believe that the stance against Israel and the bogus case of genocide against him in the International Court of Justice did play a role in this. But I think the real issue, the proximate cause of why this occurred now is Cyril Ramaphosa saw Donald Trump. He congratulated him on your being sworn in. And they said a cordial phone call. Things are all great and fine and dandy. And Cyril runs off and then just pokes the bear in the eye. Oh, okay. Well, we're friends. Here's expropriation without compensation. We're going to confiscate property from our citizens with no compensation, despite the fact that our Constitution tells us we have to do that. Now, Trump's tweet hints and indicates at a class of people. To me, that class of people are property owners. And property isn't just land. It's houses, it's stocks, it's bonds, it's pension funds, it's cars, it's Bakkies, it's jewelry, it's Krugerrands, it's all that. They can take anything at any time. And I guarantee you that the first two steps with this, when they get a chance, are going to come after pension funds. Oh, we need 10% because we don't have enough money. They'll take that. And the other thing they're going to come after is they're going to go after any political opponents. If you speak out against the ruling government of the day, you'll get a phone call or a visit. Hey, you know, maybe you should stop talking about the government. We're tired of hearing about it. Oh, you like your pension fund? It won't be there next week. And I think that's going to have the chilling effect that's desired, silent speech.
Looking at the language of that tweet, it clearly was his own words without any diplomatic intervention there, Chris. So he must have been hugely triggered by something our president said or did.
Well, I think, in fact, signing that thing at Davos really was given the middle finger. to the U.S. Ramaphosa and the ANC know that the U.S. Expects respect for property rights. It's enshrined in AGOA, and it is our norm for what we do around the world. We have something similar to what you have in South Africa. Section 25 allows for expropriation and compensation. We have eminent domain. The government can take your property with just compensation, but it has to be in the public interest. Now, that's been abused from time to time in America by authorities, and I recognize that. But in South Africa, you have expropriation with compensation. There's no reason whatsoever the government needs to expropriate property, Chris. There's no reason, none. The money is there. It's been a lame, half-hearted attempt to do land restitution. The facts of the matter are never discussed publicly because South Africans are afraid to say something, or they just aren't willing to discuss this issue. But there were 75,000 plus land claims in legitimate period from 1994 to 1999 filed. That was the window. 74,000 plus of those land claims were resolved over 20 years ago. Most were financial compensation, and we can debate about whether it was fair compensation. In many cases, I'd say maybe it wasn't. That's a fair point, but that's a separate topic. So there's only a little over 1,000 land claims, and the ANC has refused to settle those because there are competing, contending claims for the land. It's unclear, and so those remain unresolved. Now, when Zuma came in, he opened up another window illegitimately over a decade ago, and another 141,000 land claims came in. Most of them were bogus. They were redundant. They were claims for land that had already been settled. This is a red herring, the land issue. Land is an issue, but most South Africans want land for a house or to build a tuck shop or a stand or a business on. They're not looking to be farmers. The ANC wants to put 1 million Black South Africans into subsistence farming. The world's going the other direction, Chris. Automation, AI, robotics. There aren't many people working on farms in much of the world anymore. It's all industrial scale now, and they're not going to make money. Putting people on farms in subsistence farming makes them perpetually dependent on the state. And that is what the ANC wants. But this is going to backfire spectacularly. It already has. And I can't wait to see what Cyril Ramaphosa has to say. Ronnie Lamola went out and he tried to parse this and say, well, you just don't have an understanding of our system. Oh, we can read modern standard written English there, Ronnie. I read your constitution and I know what it says. You are very much mistaken. You are violating the law and you think that the world's going to look the other way. Well, Trump is a new sheriff in town. He's in his second term. He's 78 years old. He's full of vim and vigor, and he's not putting up with fools, and you're one of them.
Okay, now we've just heard that President Cyril Ramaphosa is looking forward to meeting President Donald Trump. What do you say to that?
Well, yeah, it's fascinating news. So again, sanctions and threats of sanctions seem to get people's attention. Now Ramaphosa is looking forward, wants to meet with Donald Trump, wants to engage with him. So we'll see if that happens, Chris. I think that Trump might tell him, nah, talk to the hand, not the face right now, and make him wait until Rubio shows up in South Africa in a few weeks. I think that might be the case. And again, I think there's going to be some more trouble coming South Africa's way, but we'll see. You know, look, South Africa is a constitutional democracy rooted in the rule of law, justice, and equality. That's just what South Africa's government says, except it's not. When you expropriate people's property without compensation, that's not just. That's not right. It's also a violation of the constitution. So, you know, we'll see if Ramaphosa comes through with Trump. That's what he wants to do. This just broke. News 24 reported this a short while ago, and other media outlets are reporting that Ramaphosa wants to meet with Trump. But he wasn't asking or hoping to meet with Trump 24 hours ago, now was he? Isn't that strange how one tweet changes the entire game? So, you know, Trump is playing three-dimensional chess, and the ANC is playing checkers. Who do you think is going to win?
Thank you. That was retired U.S. Army Colonel Chris Wyatt, also an intelligence analyst, speaking to BizNews after Trump made his move against South Africa. And I am Chris Stein. Thank you, Colonel.
You're very welcome. Have a good day.